an element.
New time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Are you interested in a radio program that focuses on the deeper aspects of the UFO? Would you like to explore the facts and truths of what ufology and UFO research are all about? Then please join us here every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for Eye to the Sky, the UFO Synopsis, with your host, D. Andrew, right here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, UFO research is not a belief system.
To UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Light up your night with The Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Through the Keyhole. And I need to ask you all to bear with me for one moment. I need to do a very brief technical adjustment here. Okay, let's try. That is so much better. Okay. Sometimes I forget to mute the Pell Talk room, and then I hear everything I say again. And I don't think you guys can hear it, but I can, and it makes me crazy. So, okay, once again, welcome to this week's edition of Through the Keyhole. I am your host, Karen Dolan, and I'm coming to you live this evening, Friday, October 26th of 2012, from Rochester, New York, via the Paranormal Radio Network. And we're also on UPRN 105.7 FM in New Orleans. For more information on the show and on my guests, you can either visit the site for the station at ParanormalRadioNetwork.com, or you can go directly to my site at karendolan.com, and it's K-A-R-Y-N. I want to thank everybody for joining me this evening. I've been off for a couple of weeks again. I was traveling the last couple weekends speaking at some fun events, and I also attended the Paradigm Symposium in Minneapolis, Minnesota last week. It was the first one they've ever done, and honestly, I could not believe it was the first. It was fantastic. They had a pretty amazing lineup of speakers, and it was just incredibly professionally put together. Scotty Roberts and Micah Hanks did an absolutely amazing job. I believe their site is still up. It's ParadigmSymposium.com. Go check that out and see, you know, some information about what they did this year. And I heard rumor that they are going to do it again next year, so life is good. I mean, if you didn't get to go this year, check into it for next fall. And if you did, I'm sure that I don't have to tell you to get your ticket again next time. It was fantastic. This evening, my guest is, I'm not going to do a huge long introduction because I really want to get in and talk, and I think we may not be able to do the entire 2 hours. I think he's only available for part of the show, so let's just jump right in. My guest is Nick Groff from the Travel Channel's TV show Ghost Adventures, and he's got a new book out called Chasing Spirits about the building of the Ghost Adventures crew. Nick, thanks so much for being willing to go tonight and talk with me. I know you've got a really busy schedule.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I know I've been all over the place lately. It's been a fun journey, you know, going to location after location for Ghost Adventures, different haunted locations all over the country, and then, you know, just conquering the book, Chasing Spirits. So I'm really excited. And, taking care of my little girl, too. You know, it's a time of the year where people are getting sick. So she has a little cold right now, and I was taking care of her for a little bit.
Okay. I have to ask, I got to ask my listeners, actually, whether they're hearing echo that I'm hearing. Because in the beginning of the show, I was hearing this, and I'm sorry, guys, I got to ask for everybody's help, because if I turn everything down so that I don't get an echo, then I can't hear Nick. And if I can hear Nick, I hear everything twice. So, and this is really going to start to talk. Oh, now I'm hearing you say things just one time. Okay. Joe, if you fix something, bless you. Thank you so much. Nick, you have a little girl. You were mentioning that before. And how old is she?
She's going to be 2 in December, December 7th. And she's like my life. She's everything. It's just like the most amazing thing to ever come into my life, number one. And, you know, she's grown up so quick. She has like just a awesome personality. And I think she's a little too adventurous, just like her dad. So I've probably been on my handfuls, you know, what they say, karma. So all the crazy, hyperactive things I did when I was a kid, you know, it's probably going to come full blast to me now.
Oh,
but no, she's great.
So did you have experience with your parents saying, oh, someday you'll have kids and they'll be just like
you? Absolutely.
Yes.
About 100 times they told me that. And I used to tell them, too, when I was a kid. I used to say, oh, when I have kids someday, I'm going to let her do or him do whatever they want. And look at me now. I'm like, don't do that. Don't do this. It's really funny.
I think that's why two-year-olds are so fond of the word no. That's all they hear for a while. But it seems like...
Yes, seriously.
You know, it's stuff like, no, you can't climb to the top of that 10-foot tall tree and jump off. No. No, you can't.
She's like, in Annabelle, my little daughter, she's like, no, I'm going to. And you know, and I let her do her things. And you know, some stuff I foresee already, because I've pretty much done all the adventure stuff you can think of. So I'm like foreseeing her having accidents. But no, it's awesome. You know, it's a life changer, and it's just, it's all for a good. Thing.
So, Nick, I wanted to ask you about your book and about your work on the TV show. Absolutely. I get distracted by kids. My kids are teenagers now. And,
you know,
I'm tempted to ask you what your daughter thinks of all this, but probably at 2, she hasn't formed too much about what dad does for a living.
She doesn't have an opinion about the paranormal or anything that I do, but she has an opinion about, like, what book she wants me to read.
Okay.
So, you know, it's either Dora or, you know, all these other kid books. It's really funny. But one day, she's going to figure out. We all grow into our adulthood, and we figure out kind of, like, the own journey we want to do as human beings. So I think one day she's going to grow up, she's going to understand it and, you know, look back. You know, obviously, I'm going to be a lot older than she is. So, you know, I won't be that cool, hip guy that, you know, probably perceiving me as now.
Well, you might be surprised, because I went through a phase where everything I did embarrassed my kids, and suddenly, somehow, I became cool again. I'm not sure what happened, but they finally decided to, it would be safe to invite their friends over from school as long as I promised to just pretend to be a soccer mom. And their kids thought it was cool being at our house, and now this is like the place to be. So you may very well run into that.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. Yeah. I'll definitely be cool like that.
Yeah. Now, I remember in your book you mentioned your own upbringing was pretty open to the paranormal. I mean, you had, your family was pretty open about the whole existence of ghosts and UFOs and all of these things that, I mean, I've had plenty of eye rolling at me for being open about my belief in these things.
I mean, you know, growing up, my dad's grandmother, she liked all things paranormal. She would talk to me about UFOs all the time. She would talk to me about, you know, ghosts. My aunt Missy would talk to me about ghosts and paranormal things. And, you know, I would spend a good amount of time over there. They lived in Nashua, New Hampshire, and I would go over there sometimes after school or, you know, just for the weekends and whatnot when my parents were working. And we would just talk about, you know, I would want to watch, like, Twilight Zone. My aunt would pull out all these movies that they have, you know, the old VHS tapes. We'd go through all the horror movies and stuff, and I was just so into it. at an early age that I think it just fascinated me because it was mysterious and adventurous, and I just wanted to learn more and more as I grew older. And not until, you know, through high school, me and my buddies would go to, like, you know, some supposedly haunted houses around town, or, you know, seek it out for, you know, thrills and rushes and stuff and see what would happen, you know, walking up to that creepy old abandoned burnt down house. But, you know, until I got to Las Vegas, my wife Monica, at the time we were just in college and dating, and basically we just decided to go up to Virginia City for a college trip, and that's kind of where I really, really got highly involved into it, and I was learning the history of the old mining town and looking at all these old locations. I had, like, a little high-A camera, and I would film, like, everything. I would just sit there in this old historic building where this guy was telling me about how there's a ghost there. I would just film the bed. To the point they'd be like, okay, you can leave now. You've been filming the bed for about a good 20 minutes now, you know, because I wanted to see a complaint happen on the bed. So, you know, my life has been kind of bizarre like that up to when I met Zach and Aaron and started the documentary.
So what is your wife's attitude toward this whole thing?
Does
she believe in ghosts? Did she before you started the TV show? Did the TV show change anything?
I don't think it changed anything. I think she got more concerned at times with the locations we were going at and just the dramatic effect it had on me once in a while when I would come home. You know, just that kind of negative impression from, you know, dark energies and stuff. It does linger on you at these locations, and sometimes that will come home with you. You know, she definitely believes in the afterlife. She definitely believes, we've talked to this on deep conversations. I think she's on the same, you know, path as me, the same thinking patterns. She lost her father at an early age. She was only one when she lost her father. So she kind of had that, you know, that emotion, that feeling throughout her whole life, kind of in that spiritual realm of things. And she did tell me about an experience when I think she was 16 years old. Her friends were over her house, and they were doing this Ouija board, you know, being kids and doing a Ouija board.
Yeah.
And I guess all the candles blew out, and, you know, the mouse on the Ouija board moved, and they freaked out, and she never would touch that thing ever again in her life.
Oh.
So, you know, she's had little things there and there, but she definitely believes.
Cool. Well, it's interesting that you said that about, you know, bringing some negative energies out of these places. There are a lot of TV shows about, you know, looking for ghosts, going into investigating haunted houses. I can't even rattle off names because there are just so many of them.
Yeah.
And I get the impression when I'm talking with people who watch these things, especially people who did not start out with an interest in the paranormal, but maybe came across it when they were flipping channels and found a show like yours or some of the others on some of the other cable channels, and they start watching it. And I think we're all just so conditioned to think that stories are written and acted out on TV. I think people don't really understand that some of these things are real. I think it seems to me that it's very difficult for some people to accept it as a real thing. They think it's a story. I mean, do you run into that a lot?
Not necessarily as much anymore. You know, I think our show is, I don't even like labeling it as a show. I mean, because we were doing this before we even had a show, and it's one of those things where we went off, we weren't casted for this. We weren't, you know, like, all right, Nick, Zach, Aaron, you're going to be on this, and this is what it's going to be. It wasn't like that at all. It was just like, hey, guys, hey, Zach, Aaron, you know, we've known each other for a while now. Do you guys want to go out? Get some camera equipment with our own money. You know, we were broke. We had no money, but let's scoop some money up and try to go out and see if this stuff exists. I'm really, really fascinated. Jack had an experience. He told me about it, and we wanted to hit the road and, you know, see what we can come up with. And that's kind of how it started for us. And I think that fascination drew us in, and we weren't expecting to have this, you know, capture amazing evidence. It took us off guard, you know, all this adventurous. And I think it was kind of meant to be. Where it kind of turned into a TV show. And you know, I think our show is so unique in that fashion that people get it. It's raw. you know, it's the three of us being locked down in these locations, and what you see is what you get, basically. And, you know, when I come across people that are, you know, more on the skeptical side, it's not necessarily like, hey, I'm a skeptic. I don't believe in any of that stuff on TV. Or I don't believe your stuff or just talking with me in general about paranormal, not even, you know, talking about the show or whatever. You know, I always say, look, I'm not here to prove you. I'm not here to change your mind about things. You know, I think everybody has their own mind. They should think their own thoughts, and it's not my goal to try to change somebody's thinking patterns or, you know, push that onto somebody. It's, this is what we're capturing. This is what it is. My experiences, what I've personally experienced, I know that there is something after just dying because I've experienced a ghost staying 2 feet in front of my face, a solid figure looking at me while we made eye contact. I mean, that experience right there is what put me into this category of being a full-blown, you know, believer. Before, I was more of a logical thinker that wanted to have that experience. So I think it takes an experience to really have that belief in, okay, there is something than just dying, you know, because I think we're all on that journey right now. I mean, it doesn't matter really at the end of the day what anybody's beliefs are, what religion background, it doesn't matter because, you know, we're all going to die. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, every day, every minute that's ticking, every second that's ticking, we are dying. And, you know, I'm not trying to be dramatic in that sense, and it's not a sad thing to think about. It's just a realistic thing. But the biggest question is, and I think that's why this paranormal field is so, to me personally, is so interesting, is because I want to know what happens when you die. What is next? You know, what happens? And I think, you know, this energy within the bodies that we're living in right now, when a body dies, where does that energy go? Energy can't be destroyed. So it's definitely interesting.
That's what you talk about, more and more people being interested in this kind of thing now. And I don't want to start getting dark or God forbid, getting political here, but do you think it's possible that with the state of the world the way it is, I mean, a lot of people look around and just say, we're going to hell in a handbasket here. I wonder, you know, whether that's making people think about this a little more.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I definitely think it opens up your mind a little bit, you know, gets you thinking in general about life, death, all that stuff. You know, everyone has relatives, everyone has family, this and that, growing up. But I think, you know, parts of the world, I mean, definitely some people would say, hey, I am in hell right now. Some people call Earth, where we're living, hell. I mean, look at third world countries. I mean, that's just... You know, speaking political, I've been to Jamaica, you know, one of the, on the opposite side of the island where we were, you know, I became really good friends with the bus driver who I actually had sing on my album that came out this year. And, you know, I gave this guy an opportunity because he was an amazing singer. And I wanted to do a song called World Domination, you know, about like horrific things in this world. And he's telling me that, you know, on the other side of Jamaica, it's one of the worst places in the world. I mean, you know, little kids walking around with AKs and shooting each other. I mean, it's crazy, you know?
Oh, my God. What was that movie, Hotel Rwanda? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I saw part of that and I couldn't deal with anymore because I'm a total wuss. But, I'm a mom. You know, I can't look at kids in that situation. I can deal with it. But on the other hand, as you said, we're all going to die sooner or later. And looking into the paranormal has always fascinated me. I've always been interested in ghosts and spirits and different kinds of spirits. Now, you talked about running into negative energies in some of your investigations. Has your experience been mainly with ghosts, which I consider to be the spirits of deceased humans, or have you run into inhuman spirits like demons?
Yeah, I mean, it gets really tricky to categorize from my personal take and my experiences. You know, I've come to conclusions on demons and whatnot. I do think there is stuff more sinister than what we actually can concept. You know, like, I think that they're, just like in the world we're living in right now, I think there's good people and bad people. Good people and bad people die. You know, negative impressions stay and they linger, I think, just as far as good does. And, you know, a lot of the locations that we're going to, like prisons, mental hospitals, you know, we pick a lot of these kind of horrific locations because we actually get more activity, because the impressions from this negative energy is just so dramatic and so intense at times. And, we've noticed that that's where we actually can document a lot more stuff, from our experiences. And, you know, I think we're coming into contact with a lot of negative entities that were once living, like, you know, a prisoner who, you know, murdered people and was very negative or did horrific acts while he was living. And now that energy is still trapped in this prison cell or in lingering in this prison. This, you know, these intelligent spirits, you know, trying to lash out on us. You feel that dark energy, that kind of dread. You can definitely sense it amongst your body. And you can get, you know, like, we'll validate it with our digital recorders and we'll capture spirit voices intelligently, like, you know, get out or swearing at us or saying stuff in response to questions that we're asking to help validate kind of experiences. And I think what happens is a lot of these negative locations, like, for instance, Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky, you know, you have a lot of negative impressions that happen there and a lot of deaths that were dramatic. And it kind of opens up this other, you know, realm that we don't fully understand where, you know, these more sinister, I don't know what to call them, you know, we call them demons, creatures, or, you know, just plain out hell. It kind of rises up and latches on to these locations, and it's almost like they're opening this portal for this negative. You know, when you draw in, you know, when you put out negative energy or you put out positive energy, just in general, for to try to sum it up here, you're going to get negative and positive energy back, right? So it's the same concept. It's like, you know, these locations have such a negative impression that I think it's drawing in more negative entities than we actually realize. And I think that's scary, you know?
And there's so much that we still need to learn about this, about, you know, what the energy is and how it works and how different people are able to sense it and how different pieces of equipment are able to sense it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think we're getting really close. We work with some great scientists. Like, our episode that's airing tonight is really an amazing episode for... Thanks, and we bring in Bill Chappell. He's an engineer, and he actually brings in his engineered computer that he did, which picks up motion sensor on spiritual activity up in Cripple Creek, Colorado. Check that one out tonight because it's actually really good. It comes on in an hour, actually, or hour and a half, 9 o'clock travel show, and it's really cool because he captures something amazing that I've never seen before, an actual apparition moving on the computer screen. It's crazy. We're definitely getting closer to seeing these figures more validated on pieces of equipment to show. Mm-hmm. You know, for me personally, I know. I mean, I've experienced, like I was saying, I turned around and I saw a lady stand at the Linda Vista Hospital in East LA.
I wanted to ask you about that. I remember seeing that episode, and I was trying to remember where that took place. Can you tell us more about that incident?
Yeah, that was East LA, Linda Vista Hospital, 2009. We investigated this. We were in this trauma center room where thousands of people died, lost their lives, and there's kind of two separate rooms. There's a waiting room, trauma center room, and then there's this kind of like this little quarter where doctors and nurses would get their tools ready and stuff to go in there and work on the patients. Zach was in that little quarter. Aaron was in the waiting room to my right, and I was staying in between so I could see in the trauma center room. Mm-hmm. And what happened was it was really late at night. I was actually exhausted. I'm just like redundantly seeing the same question. I'm like, I have my digital recorder. I'm rolling, trying to capture EVPs or electronic voice phenomena, you know. A redundant question, and I look to my left, and I don't see anything there in the dark. You know how your eyes adjust a little bit, you kind of see in front of you, and I look back, Zach and Aaron are filming me, and then I look back, and there's a woman standing 2 feet in front of my face, a solid figure, and I could make out every detail on her. Her face was kind of white and pale in the dark, so it glowed a little bit. And I could see her eyes connected for that split second. I know she saw me and I saw her. just kind of reaching out. But what really got me, she was wearing this hospital gown. It had these, like, old flatterns all over her hospital gown.
Mm.
And, you know, that imprint, that split second of when I saw her, stuck in my head forever, until to the point where, you know, I freaked out. I jumped back. The recorder flew out of my hand. Okay. I went flying into the other room where Aaron was. And, you know, my heart's racing. And it's kind of like that urban legend. You see, you know, you see a ghost and your hair turns white and you have a heart attack. That's what I felt like, honestly.
Yeah.
It was actually scary. And I don't, you know, a lot of people say, you know, don't run, stand your ground. But I don't care how tough you are, how mentally strong you are. Trust me, anybody. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been to hundreds of locations. And, you know, when you turn around, there's nothing there. And you turn back around when you least expect it, you'll jump. Regardless.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing the footage. You know, I saw you jump. I just saw that one again this afternoon when I was, you know, touching up my research before we did the interview. And I was really impressed. I was like, you know what? I always feel like on some of these shows, there have to be some days when the guys are out there filming and happening, and there have to be days when things get recreated. You know, maybe there are things that really did happen but weren't on camera. And so I'm always kind of watching, like, yeah, that one was fake. I don't know. I saw this one. I saw you jump, and I went, oh, my God, that was real. That was so real.
Yeah, I can't act that, honestly. And it's funny because I laugh at my reaction now because it's been so long. You know, it's 2009, and
you
I just laugh at my
face. That was just so exactly what a real person would do if they actually saw something. It would be impossible. I mean, you would have to be like De Niro to pretend the way, you know, to come across like that, to pretend you were seeing something.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So that was really moving for me when I first saw that. I was like, okay, this show is one of the real ones. And I was really impressed. I wanted to watch more.
Cool. You know what's creepy, too, about that is when I actually jump back, a lot of people have frozen the frame from Zach's camera angle.
Can they see her?
You can actually, someone said that you can actually see kind of at the right corner of the frame. I guess someone's froze it, and when my reaction is like all the way back where I'm like jumping backwards and stuff. Someone said it on Facebook, but you can kind of see this like weird apparition glowing arm kind of at the, on the right of the frame, kind of like pulse, coming after me. It's really weird. And actually, I was like, when I first looked at it, I'm like, okay, you know, and then I looked, I'm like, wow, actually, that is pretty amazing. I never saw that in the raw footage when we were, looking at it, because our cameras froze on the tape reels from my camera angle and from Aaron's. It was like this, the magnetic fields got knocked off on the reels or something. It froze the tape reels in time. It was really, really bizarre. And then it picks up, the tape reels, like, froze in the moment of my reaction, that picks up when I'm in the hallway, when I'm freaking out and stuff, and then we go back, and then it keeps rolling. It's just bizarre. But it was definitely a weird experience.
Yeah, and I know you just told me, but just for our listeners who may not have seen that episode, where was it that this happened again? It was in East L.A., I know.
Yep, Linda Vista Hospital, East L.A.
Linda Vista. I'm typing that into the chat room.
Oh, cool. What's up, everybody in the chat room?
I do have a couple of questions that have come in on the chat room. They're pretty excited to be talking to you. You've got a lot of fans here tonight.
Cool. Yeah.
And
they all rock.
Nick, do I understand correctly that you can only do the first hour tonight?
Yeah, because I'm watching my little girl right now. And I, she has this like little cold, so.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's fine. I just want to know what our cutoff time is, so I make sure that I get everybody's questions in.
I'll definitely try to answer everyone's questions.
Okay. One is. Oops, sorry, that was me. I'm just trying to scroll back up. One person wants to know what you think of using a handheld compass in finding spirits. A handheld compass.
Oh, I haven't actually tried that yet.
You haven't tried
that
yet?
Yeah, probably with the magnetic. Yeah, I haven't tried that yet, but that's interesting. We'll try everything once.
Yeah.
See what works, what doesn't. I mean, we're very open-minded when it comes to, you know, just any material, any scientific stuff to help validate better of our findings. And, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, that's a simple tool, too.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that next time I hit some haunted place, see if I get anything. That's pretty neat. Okay, another question. A listener says you did a show at a rectory in Cincinnati, and the husband kind of freaked out during the episode. He's asking whatever happened to that couple.
We, Zach and I, it was a bizarre scenario with that whole, you know, the rectory in Cincinnati next to that church. You know, we brought in a priest to exorcise the place and try to rid it of whatever was attaching itself to the husband. I mean, the guy and the girl. And what happened was we followed up with them later to see if, because our mission with this whole thing was to go in and help them. And if we can't help them, we have the priest who is going to follow up with them. And, you know, I just wanted to follow up with them after, so Zach and I followed up with them. And supposedly they were still having some activity and some things linger with them. But we're probably going to reach out to them again and find out what's going on.
Okay.
But that's the last I heard when we were done investigating.
Okay. Back on the compass issue for a second, that listener said his experience is that it does work in finding spirits. He said it makes the compass spin 360 degrees.
Oh, interesting.
So,
yeah, I'll have to try that. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I wanted to ask again about, you mentioned one case at Bobby Mackey's Music World, and I remember seeing some other stories about that as well. I've heard of that one from several different sources, and I did see your episode on that one. You were talking about negative energies, and just for the sake of any listeners who might not be familiar with this case, there was a lot going on there. I mean, that you had ghosts. I mean, you had people who had died, the man who was murdered there, and two men who had died near there, I think. They were executed for her murder, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But they also had been practicing Satanists, and they actually like threw her body, or at least her head, down a well that was under the building. So, I mean, you're bringing in this demonic energy and this just pure human evil, but maybe something more than that. And wasn't there at least one psychic who said that that well was a portal to something deeper and something really just much worse? I mean, it was much more than just human ghosts in that one.
Yeah, I mean, when we did a lot of research back in, that was one of our first locations we went to. I remember after we did a documentary and, we were talking about keep going and doing more locations for Travel Channel when they were, picking us up for Ghost Adventures. And that was one of the first, locations, Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. And, I just remember seeing all the historical facts, you know, in all the research and documentaries on this location, and I was like, we got to go there. This looks crazy. You know, we're always looking to push in the boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, we were young back then and still adventurous and trying to do whatever it takes to, you know, capture some more amazing evidence. And I think we got our, you know, we went in this location knowing this, these things, and I think we actually got more in bargain for it. It kind of became a part of us in a darker way, you know. This location, I mean, it got really bad, even to the point where I was like in the bathroom and the whole bathroom started shaking, like dramatically.
Oh my gosh.
We captured like this EVP, which sounds like three blind mice singing. It's very bizarre. You know, I'm jumping out of this bathroom because it felt like the whole building was collapsing. You know, there were so many crazy things that happened revolving around this investigation, to obviously the basement where the well is. You know, it's just one of those places where you walk in, it will hit you when you least expect it. You know, you'll go in there, it might be fine upstairs, you'll go maybe into the bathroom and boom, it will lash out and get you. Or you'll go down to the basement and you'll be walking around and it will get you. And it's just, that's one location that creeps us out every time we go to. We went there three times and I just said, I'm never coming here again. I don't want to go inside because it always has this negative feeling. You know, it's like it's on you when you leave. kind of like having dirt on your hands. You got to wash it off, you know, and until you wash it off, you keep feeling dirty. I don't know. I don't know what it is about that location.
I'd like to check it out sometime, but now you're kind of creeping me out a little, I
can say. That's what everyone says. I get emails all the time. I'm going to Bobby Mackey. Should I be concerned, or should I, you know, I tell everybody, you know, it has to do with any location, and I know this one has a little bit more effect on us personally, but, you know, any location, you just got to be careful with what you're doing, period. I mean, you got to understand that, you know, when you're communicating with spirits, you don't necessarily always know who you're communicating with.
Yeah.
You know, evil is weird. It comes in a weird form where it will, you know, you think you might be talking to a child on a digital recorder, you know, like communicating through EVP, and you'll find out later that it's not actually a child, it's something more sinister and evil, you know, pretending to be a child. We've had that experience before, where it's really bizarre. You just got to be careful, you know.
What kind of precautions do you take when you go into a place like this? I mean, do you visualize yourself surrounded in white light before you go in, or because you often you guys usually go in and try to provoke something? And I have to say, when I'm watching this on the TV shows, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's so dangerous to do that.
Absolutely, no, you're absolutely right. It is. We've really been a lot more cautious now because we've experienced some really bad things that have lashed out to us. So, I mean, I think we've calmed down a little bit with, you know, the whole type approach. Yeah. But, you know, we're still at it. The thing is we go in, we don't go into all locations and just, like, get all haywire and crazy and try to get, you know, whatever evil spirit is there to attack us. We're doing it for a purpose. I mean, we're honestly going in because managers, eyewitnesses are crying, telling us that, you know, they're getting harmed by this stuff, and we need you guys to validate and show us, you know, what's happening going on here. So, you know, sometimes we'll go in and we'll take that approach because, you know, it's like being bullied. You're gonna stop being bullied one day and step up. So it's kind of how we do it. But I don't recommend it for everyone. You know, just know the limits, like you're saying. You know, it can be dangerous. I've experienced it. You know, there was a location we did at, we're in season 7 now, and the premiere of Central Unit Prison in Texas, which aired the first episode for the season. I had a horrific experience. Talk about, you know, this dreadful type of activity happening to me. I don't know if you saw it, but basically what happened was, it was this prison in Texas. We didn't know too much about it. It just shut down. And we were allowed to go in there before they condemned it and stuff and try to do our paranormal research. So not a lot of people would talk to us because they were still active officers on duty. So we couldn't get too much stuff. We just knew some historical stuff of the location and some paranormal activity off camera, people telling us where to go that they've experienced when they used to work there. So we're investigating, right? And I'm fine the whole time. Interviews, all the stuff, walkthrough, I'm fine. And we go to investigate, and we walk in this room where supposedly this, you know, these things happen. And I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I just, you know, I'm just feeling that goosebumps, that electrical charge. And suddenly I get hit with this dramatic, change in my body. I came down with a high fever instantly. Mm. And I started trembling. I couldn't even hold the little night vision camera I was filming on. I kind of dropped it, and I'm filming Zach, and I start telling the guys, I'm like, guys, I don't feel good. I'm being dead serious. I'm like, I don't even care about filming right now. I'm telling you that something bad is happening to me. And at the same time, when that was happening to me, we were actually capturing some amazing evidence revolving around my experience. We had this dark figure move out from behind Zach on my camera. We had these balls of energy that were flying into my head. We had metal spikes. We had voices coming through, which I didn't realize at the time when this was happening because I felt so just bizarre and sick and cloudy in my head, and I kept getting a flood that was angry at us. You know, like these vivid images of this guy angry, if we don't stop what we're doing, he's going to harm us. And I had to leave the location early in the morning because because I couldn't walk anymore. It was so bad, to the fact where, you know, it was altering me. But when I left 30 minutes down, I was actually going to walking clinic to try to get on antibiotics because I thought I got hit with something bad. Because at first, my first reaction is, I'm sick or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized later it was, you know, actual paranormal activity happening, this dark energy kind of attaching itself to me and lingering on me. It took me 2 weeks to shake it. And I was on antibiotics and stuff, and it really kind of destroyed me. And that put my guard up. Ever since then, I've been kind of cautious.
Yeah, I bet.
Crazy, you know?
Do you do any kind of cleansing or smudging or anything when you finish an investigation or when you leave one of these places?
You know, I've looked into so many different things. I think people, I've talked about this so many times on different radios and conferences around the world, and I just tell people that, you know, you have to find out what works for you. You know, I think, number one, you have to mentally be strong and spiritually have, like, a really strong soul. You're like, you got to go in strong, you know, like, nothing bad is going to happen to you. That's kind of how I go into it. And it's like, you know, it's good versus evil. You gotta fight that battle. And it's like sometimes you're fighting your own inner self, you know, clashing against this bad energy. And, you know, I kind of go in, when I leave a location, what I do usually is I'll close that door behind me, and I'll walk away and I'll forget about it. I'll just kind of erase all that negative energy off me and just forget about it. The more you feed into things, the more it grows. That's what I've learned that works for myself.
So try to keep yourself calm and don't give it energy from being angry or afraid.
Yeah, keep grounded. You know, keep grounded, keep positive, and just keep in that mentality and don't feed into the energy.
Mm-hmm. So you're not saying that smudging or cleansing doesn't work, but it sounds more like if someone feels more comfortable, if it makes a person feel safer to smudge, then that might give them the extra strength that they need to throw it off.
And I've heard that actually works from different people. I heard smudging actually works. I don't understand it fully, you know, with the smoke and how spirits, you know, bad spirits don't like the smoke and whatnot. I don't understand that, but, you know, I haven't done enough research to actually validate it.
Yeah. I know at this point, paranormal investigation is such an interesting field because we're kind of identifying certain things that work, but we don't always know why they work.
Exactly.
So, you know, doing more investigation to find out what's the mechanism behind this, what makes it work, is just as big as finding, you know, does this technique work? Does that piece of equipment sense something? You know, can I record something with infrared or with sound or whatever?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's why it makes it a very interesting field, and I think that's why so many people are so interested in it, is because, you know, the more and more that this paranormal field is growing, the more we're getting closer to understanding, you know, like, I'm asking a lot, with the digital recorder, you know, asking these spirits, what happens when you die? We just did this location in Wyoming, this prison, and Zach and I were in this, where the inmates would be kept for execution, and they still had the original gas chamber, and they still had the original hanging, and these prisoners were, you know, sleeping in these little jail cells, like 10, 15 feet away from it, and I was asking all sorts of questions, like, you know, give us the answers, why, what happens when you die, where do you think you are now, and we're trying to get responses so we can get some answers to that. You know, maybe they can give us answers. And I think we're getting really close to finding out questions.
Oh, boy. That's pretty intense, actually.
I know. Paranormal, it's intense.
Yeah. Well, it raises some other interesting questions, too. Like, I mean, the spirits that are earthbound, if you want to use an older term, you know, the ones that are still here that we can talk to, that we're asking these questions, I have to wonder if they know. I mean, maybe they don't have the information because they're not where they're supposed to be. You know, they might just be stuck and not knowing where they're supposed to go either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really think that some of these spirits are lost. I do. I think, you know, it's sad, but there's a lot of suicides. There's a lot of dramatic accidents or, you know, where people lose loved ones. And, you know, sometimes I think some of these spirits, they get lost. I think time kind of freezes. Time is irrelevant, you know, for the spiritual world. And I think it's extended for us. So, you know, a year or two for us might be, you know, a couple of seconds for a spirit. You know what I mean? So it's like they're kind of reliving that cycle, or they're looking for, you know, that last place or whatever it is, wherever they're going. They just haven't gotten there yet because they don't fully understand that they're dead or where they are. So, you know, it's scary to think like that, but I hope that, you know, all of us, you know, we keep positive, and, you know, one day when we do cross over, you know, we'll know where to go, and we'll know which path to take, and I think we're all on that journey to get to that next place.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had the experience in any of your investigations of helping some of these spirits to move on, or have you the impression I get is that mainly you've been working on the investigation side, you know, trying to document the hauntings and figuring out, you know, what equipment can do in investigations like this. But have you ever actually?
I think it's difficult because sometimes I don't think it's our place to do that, because I don't think we fully understand not only how to do that, but, you know, at times we have gone that approach where we'll bring in help that is more professional in that category to fully understand and help guide that spirit. There's been other times where, you know, we did an episode with Gary Galka. I mean, he's an amazing guy, one of our scientists and engineers for our equipment. And, you know, he lost his daughter at age 16 in a car accident, and we went to his house, and he's been communicating with his daughter for years. I mean, it was one of the most emotional, you know, just not even investigation, just one of the most emotional, you know, going there and being a part of this documentation of what he was doing was just, you know, not only sad to me, it was uplifting, it was fascinating, it was, you know, kind of groundbreaking, because, you know, I have a daughter. I talked to him and to Gary, and I was like, I talked for a long time, and, you know, I haven't experienced losing I haven't experienced that like he has, losing a daughter, so I don't know what it's like. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, he's been communicating with some of the equipment that he's created, and, it's, you know, I think that's helped his daughter realize where she is, and she's moved on and everything he said, and she comes back once in a while and talks with him on her birthday. So it's just, it's interesting, you know? I think that fascinates me. Because it can kind of be uplifting and be a powerful thing, if we can realize, you know, what takes place after, we leave this body.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh my goodness. Okay, we apparently have a caller in queue who would like to talk with you, and I know you only have a couple minutes left because it's almost the top of the hour, but I think we've got time for one call here.
Is this Joe Montoto?
Joe is my producer. This is Karen Dolan, and my guest this evening is Nick Groff of the Ghost Adventures TV show. Did you want to talk with Nick?
I recently got to know about you guys through the Gathering of Contactees, which is a group on Facebook that I had recently had told him information about. And things that's happened to me recently, like with April 29th, 2011, about how people, like, are you guys talking about, like, abductions or just paranormal, like, ghost encounters?
Well, we hadn't really been talking about UFO things. Nick, I know in your book you mentioned that when you were a child, your family was very open about UFOs and abduction experiences. Would you like to take a question on that?
Sure, why not? All things paranormal interest me.
Okay.
Okay, I mean, this is probably going to sound bizarre, but he said he's heard it in a lot of sense. But I'd recently gotten in trouble, you know, a few times, and while I was isolated, like in jail and stuff, I began to have really bad hallucinations, and I thought I was hearing voices. And it's happened a couple of times, like, and it drove me insane because, like, when I closed my eyes, like, I would see everything and would hear it. And then it would just, like, fade, like, into nothing. And, I mean, it was fascinating because, like, I've never had anything like it happen before, and I lost 2 days of time. Do you have any idea why they pick people from certain bloodlines like that?
I'm from
West Virginia, by the way.
Nice to talk to you. I haven't actually experienced that, but I mean, it sounds like an out-of-body experience where I have talked to several people all over the world where they've had kind of where they've been held down. They've been feeling like, you know, they're lifted out of their body and whatnot. I've talked to tons of people who've had those experiences before. I don't fully understand it. But I think the mind is such a huge thing that we haven't actually conquered yet. You know, supposedly we only use 10-15% of our brain. It's definitely interesting. There was actually a neuroscientist, I don't know if you heard about this, he was in the headlines where he actually died recently, and he's been, you know, a neuroscientist for like 25 years. And he's very reputable and stuff, and he actually had an out-of-body experience when he passed away. He was dead in a coma for 5 days. Seventh day, he woke up, and he talked about he never believed in the afterlife, never believed in any of the stuff, paranormal. And he talked about how he had this this massive experience where he was out of his body, and he was flying through the air, and then he left this galaxy as an energy form into this different universe. And then he woke up, and now he's talking heavily about it. I mean, I think this world, this universe, is so vast and so interesting that we don't fully understand everything yet.
Well, see, it's been going on for the past 2 years, and then I start running up on this awakening stuff, and then all these like signs and stuff just like jar onto me at one time, and like I'd look at everything in a new perspective, and it's absolutely insane because like. I mean, there's only one time have I ever actually seen anything actually bizarre, and that's when I was like 15 years old. I saw a figure of a boy outside my house. Like, he was solid as me and you, but it was just like a silhouette. And, I mean, when I looked back, I mean, it was gone. But it seems like throughout time, it's all this stuff just piled on me, and it's like, I just like, I don't know. Am I seeing everything in a different perspective? I'm seeing things, and it's mind blowing. It's like I'm analyzing everything, and it's bizarre because I've never been like this. I've never been obsessed with I never even believed in extraterrestrial anything until this happened, and now I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I'm like constantly researching it, and I'm sitting there thinking, I mean, do they want me to find something? I have no idea. I mean, it's fascinating because I didn't believe it till now. And now,
that's how a lot of people get into this.
Yeah, and that's exactly what did it for me. I mean, what I was talking earlier about was how I turned around and I saw this lady. She was a solid figure at the Linda Vista Hospital. Yeah. And that kind of did it for me where I got so... You know, I was just like, I gotta find out who this girl is. I gotta find out everything about this. I have to go back to this location. I have to experience it again. This time I'm not gonna run. I'm gonna stand there. I'm gonna talk with her.
That's
I'm gonna
me.
Ask her what happened. You know, I can totally relate on that fashion where you experience something like that. You wanna know more. You wanna dig
deep.
I'll
wait.
You wanna find out.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I wait for, like, every day I look out the window because it was in one search bar, and I wait for it to come back because, like, I'm ready to go out there and it never come back. I'm like, wow. And then I know exactly how you feel. And it's just the past 2 years, it's just all this has hit me. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yep, well, keep your camera up. If you got a camera, film it. So you can put it up and show us. That's what I want to do. All right, take care. Good talking to you.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Good luck with continuing with your research there.
Thank you.
Wow. Nick, we are at the top of the hour. We've done a full hour, and I think it's about time to go to break. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to say goodbye to you because you have things to do tonight. You've got a date with a 2-year-old who sounds like an absolute doll.
the best date ever. Can't complain about that. My daughter's awesome. Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on, and I hope you like the book, True Chasing Spirits. Enjoy, and let me know what you think.
I love the book. So for our listeners who haven't seen the book yet, where can they get a copy?
You can basically, if you just Google it, Chasing Spirits, The Building of the Ghost Adventures Crew, it's out everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Goodreads, everywhere. So it's out in all the stores. It's published by the Penguin Group. I distributed it, so I'm really excited about it. It's an awesome chapter in my life. You can learn about me from age 8 all the way up into basically how we got our start and everything onto Ghost Adventures. So it's been a fun journey, and now in the next hour, Ghost Adventures comes on Travel Channel, 9 o'clock, new episode. It's pretty crazy.
Okay, fantastic. And do you have a website, Nick?
I do, yeah. I'm on Facebook. I run to my website. I have a fan page. Basically, you know, the easiest way is to just go to my WhoSay account, which it's basically WhoSay. It's just WHOSAY.com, and then it's / Nick Roth. And all my links are right there on my WhoSay account.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm putting this up on the chat room as well, so perfect. Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And to all of our listeners, check out his book, Chasing Spirits, which Nick mentioned is available in bookstores everywhere. It's available on Amazon. And you can go to his website at www.whosay.com/Nick Groff. And be sure to check out the Travel Channel Ghost Adventures this evening at 9, right after we're done here. So there you go. Segue. We'll get a good 3 hours worth here. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, take care, and I hope you feel better, too, with your cold. And
thanks. All right. Take care, Nick. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And thanks, everyone, for joining me for the first hour of Through the Keyhole, live on the Paranormal Radio Network. We are going to take a break now. Don't go too far away. Second hour, I actually do not have a guest, so we can just talk about whatever you guys want to. And I had a couple of thoughts come up during my talk with Nick on the first half, so there are a few things I can start us off. But if you have any questions for me, any comments, any good Halloween ghost stories, Halloween costume ideas, what are you guys doing for Halloween? Be sure to grab all that and be back in about 10 minutes, okay? Talk to you soon, and we are going to break.
George. And I'm Stephanie Minetti. Psychic medium, are you sure about that, Chris? It's more like psychic extra large.
Yeah, real funny, Minetti. But then again, being my girlfriend, you would know. Together, we are Second Sight NYC, a parapsychic radio show based out of New York City.
Join us each week as we journey into the unknown. Let's cross the threshold of reality together.
We take a fun and no-nonsense approach to our show, and we love to interact with our audience. Each week, you can expect a great guest, interesting topics, and strong opinions by myself and Stephanie.
As well as rapid readings, psychic dream interpretations, and the gemstone of the week. And don't ask us a question that you don't want an answer to.
Give us 2 hours of your time to inform, enlighten, and entertain you. Let the journey begin.
Join us.
Hello, everyone. Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Open your mind to the high strangeness of UFOs, paranormal, occult, metaphysics, and politics. We always march into the apocalypse every Saturday at 11 p.m. Eastern. TheChurchOfMavis.com, ParanormalRadioNetwork.org. K-Con is watching.
Are you interested in a radio program that focuses on the deeper aspects of the UFO topic? Would you like to explore the facts and truths of what ufology and UFO research are all about? And please join us here every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for Eye to the Sky, the UFO Synopsis, with your host, D. Andrew, right here on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. And remember, UFO research is not a belief system.
Light up your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and you're listening to Through the Keyhole on the Paranormal Radio Network and on UPRN 105.7 FM in New Orleans. I'm your host, Karen Dolan, and my guest for the first hour was Nick Groff of the Travel Channel's TV show Ghost Adventures, and he gave a fantastic interview. It was a lot of fun. So if you missed Nick, I see a lot of people have just joined us in the chat room at the bottom of the first hour. So if you weren't here to hear Nick speak, I highly recommend you download the archive once this is done. And his new book is called Chasing Spirits. It's available pretty much everywhere. He's got it in bookstores. He's got it on Amazon. It's a fantastic book. It's a fun read. And he talks about his own childhood experience, the paranormal, and the openness of his family concerning paranormal topics and also UFOs and abduction research. He had family members who grew up, who lived in New Hampshire when he was a child, not far from Betty and Barney Hill. And so apparently this was all discussed pretty freely in his household when he was a kid. I find that really interesting because, of course, some of you are aware, you know, of my own family situation. I have kids and, you know, we're heavily involved in UFO research, paranormal research. I go to a lot of UFO conferences. I've been speaking in a lot of paranormal conferences just lately. And this all really started around the same time that my kids were born. So I've gone through this whole question of, you know, what do you tell the kids? How do you talk to kids about it? How do you raise kids to be open-minded to these things without embarrassing them in front of their school friends? That was the worst thing. Well, we navigated that. Okay. I pretended for a few years to be a soccer mom. It nearly killed me, but I did it. And eventually, my kids started bringing their friends over, and
they gave me permission to talk about what I do in terms of my radio program here, which, by the way, I've been doing since 2007, so more than 5 years. Wow. I just can't believe this. And it's still so much fun. But we eventually got to the point where my kids' friends thought that was really cool, actually, and then suddenly my kids thought it was cool. And I think it's awesome that my kids are interested in it, and they're showing some talent in interesting areas that I wouldn't necessarily have expected. So I don't feel like it's really my place to get into a discussion of that sort of thing. One of these days I'll ask them to come on the show and talk about it themselves if they'd like to. I do think my kids are pretty awesome people, and I know every parent thinks that about their kids. But, hey, in my case, it's really, really absolutely true. They are way cool. And I think they are going to start coming to conferences with us again. So, you know, if you guys get to attend conferences where we are speaking or attending or working, come on over and say hi. And, you know, if my kids are at that one, I'd love to introduce you. I did just do a couple of speaking engagements just recently. Some of you may have noticed I haven't been on the air much. Through a lot of September, I actually was ill. I caught a cold on my birthday, September 4th, got caught in the rain on my way home from work, and apparently took a heck of a chill because I lost my voice. I was coughing. It was nasty. It was just really bad. And for weeks, I couldn't do the show. And I missed it horribly, but I am so glad to be back on the air. The last couple of weeks, I have not been on because I was traveling. I spoke at 2 Pennsylvania MUFON conferences, and I actually was scheduled to speak in Jamestown, New York, at their paranormal event on October 13th. And sadly, my car's muffler fell off as I was driving down there. If any of you have been following my Facebook page, I talked about that. Car's got a new muffler. My car, by the way, any of you who have heard me talk about my car before, oh, my God, don't get me started. I'm worse about my car than I am talking about my kids. I drive a 1998 Saturn with well over 225,000 miles on it. I think it's up to 228 now. And still gets like 40 miles to the gallon. So because of that, when the muffler actually fell off, I decided it was worthwhile to replace the entire exhaust system, and went ahead and did that, and boy, darn thing keeps getting like 40 gallon again. I drove it down. I tried to take it to Jamestown. It didn't make it because the muffler fell off, but a very nice young man in Olean, New York, whose name I never got, but I have to thank him. He saw me jack up the car and came out to help, and he helped me wire that muffler back up so that I could keep going. I spoke in Pittsburgh the next day, and this was a couple of weeks after I had spoken in Philadelphia. And at both of those MUFON conferences, I discussed a sort of a pet topic of mine, which Nick actually touched on during the first hour, which was his interest in UFO research as well as paranormal research. Now, he focuses on chasing spirits, like the title of his book. He does mostly the paranormal research side of it, investigating ghosts and spirits. But he also said, you know, he grew up with a belief in UFOs and aliens and alien abduction, and he's totally open to this whole thing. And like me, he sees them as, you know, two sides of the same coin, really, just mysteries. So for me, anything I don't fully understand is really cool and really fascinating. And used to be, you know, like the exhaust system of my car, but got past that, so everything's cool. Somebody on the chat room is saying, thought I was going to get a new car. Nope. Sonny Fowler. No, I still had my muffler down, but I wired it back up. But we took the old one off, put a new one on. Everything's way cool now. At any rate, yes, I did speak at the 2 MUFON events on the comparison between UFO research and paranormal research, and there are several cases where there's some crossover. I'd like to point out that when John Keel went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia in the 1960s, and he found the Mothman down there, and he found Men in Black down there, he actually had gone down because he was investigating UFO sightings. So, you know, there's a case where a lot of people put the Mothman into the cryptozoology category, and Men in Black, I mean, they seem to be linked to UFOs, but nobody quite knows what to do with them. So there's a case where you had several different kind of fields coming together. Skinwalker Ranch is a classic, of course. If any of you have not heard of the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, it's no longer open to the public, but I highly recommend the book that has been written about the events taking place there. It is called Hunt for the Skinwalker by Colm Kelleher and George Knapp. And absolutely check that out, because that place is like a spiritual, paranormal smorgasbord. It was taken over by a research organization which has closed it off. They're just doing private research now, apparently. But I have to reread the book, actually, because I almost find it bewildering. There was just so much going on. My understanding was there's a remote area in Utah, pretty much in the heart of an area that is dominated and inhabited by Native Americans. When this white family moved in, they bought some land and were like, okay, we're going to move in and build a ranch here, and we're going to live here, and everything's going to be great. And the Native Americans seemed to be kind of like, okay, white man, you go right ahead. Good luck with that. And they wouldn't say anything else. You know, but they were getting this kind of weird vibe, like, why, what's wrong, you know? And nobody would tell them what was wrong until after they built the house and started experiencing all kinds of weird poltergeist activity, cryptozoologic activity. There were Bigfoot sightings. There was one memorable account in the book of an encounter with a really huge, huge wolf, like much, much larger than life size. They described the wife of the family coming home from getting groceries, and she was driving a little hatchback car, and she said she couldn't get out of the car because this wolf was right outside, and his shoulder was like at her eye level when she sat in the car. Now, okay, the car is small, but what kind of wolf is that big? She said it was just freakishly enormous. And she sat out there until her husband and her son came up, and they shot at it. And the wolf just kind of turned around and walked away. And the husband said, I know I hit it. We were so close, I could not possibly have missed it. I know I hit it. And in fact, after one of the times he shot at it, the wolf turned around and looked at him over his shoulder, like, really? And then just walked away. And the guy said, you know, based on the kind of gun he was using and the kind of ammunition he was using, which I'm not going to get into because I know nothing about guns and I'm not going to risk getting it wrong. But this guy knows guns, and he said, I should have brought him down. At the very least, anything should have shown some kind of a jolt when the bullet hit. Nothing. But he said the wolf turned around and looked at him, so it wasn't, I mean, the wolf interacted with him. So that, to me, just makes it really bizarre. They also talked about UFO sightings in that area. People reported seeing something like a portal in the air open up, and they said when it was open, it was like a hole in the sky. And they said when they looked through it, like they could see it at night, for example, and if they looked through, they would see a sunny daytime sky with little white puffy clouds, and then it would close up. And sometimes things would be coming and going through that hole, things that looked either like Bigfoot or like grays. Just bizarre, truly bizarre stuff. Almost felt like I had a sneeze coming up. I'm going to apologize. If it happens, I'll try to hit the mute button on my microphone real quick. So that was another one, you know, that was another case where there's obviously a crossover between UFO research and paranormal research. And thank you, Therese, I see that. yet another one, oh gosh, I just had a really good one on the tip of my tongue. Oh, Jim Mars was telling me about one, and he has spoken about this at conferences, at the hangar in Roswell, New Mexico, where the bodies were taken from the UFO crash there. There's a hospital, and people have described seeing what they believe is a ghost, only it doesn't look like the ghost of a human. It looks like the ghost of an alien gray. So, okay, what do you do with that? Is it a UFO case, or is that a ghost case, or what? And how come we've never seen ghosts of aliens before? I mean, we didn't even know if they had souls. A lot of people are saying grays are machines. Well, I don't know. Although I guess a lot of people believe there are two different kinds of grays. There's one kind that is sort of a mechanical drone thing, and then there's a larger one that does seem to be more. So maybe that's it. Thank you, Eternal Being, for handing me your slightly used hanky. I appreciate that. I love you guys. I so love being back on the air with you. So, yeah, there's, you know, once again, here's this. Is it UFO stuff? Is it paranormal stuff? What is it? So this is what I get into in my talk. And it's fun because I can present this at UFO conferences. I can present it at paranormal events. And actually enough people have given me positive feedback and leads to better cases, you know, really some good stuff, that I am currently working it up into a book. So, you know, hopefully I would like to have it out by spring. We'll see what happens. And, you know, now I put that out on the air, so now it has to. Unless the world ends in December 2012, so you never know what will happen. Maybe I'll be off the hook. But I would love to get this book done and out, and because it's just really interesting stuff, and I love working on it. And I love talking about it, and I love writing about it. And I'm running down. Oh, I wanted to tell you guys, oh my gosh, anybody who was here for the first half of the show heard me talking with Nick about some of his investigations. And for anyone who has just joined us, my guest the first hour was Nick Groff of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. And he has a new book out called Chasing Spirits. I've had a chance to read a review copy, and it's excellent. I highly recommend it. Check it out. But during the first hour, we were talking about some of his investigations for the show, and he mentioned going to a place called Bobby Mackey's Music World. And I had remembered seeing the episode of Ghost Adventures where they talked about this. I also had already heard about Bobby Mackey's on an older series, which some of you might be familiar with. It was on the Discover Channel, and it was called A Haunting. Not The Haunting, because that's different. That's a different series. But there was an old one which is no longer on the air, Haunting, and you can find it actually on YouTube. I've been watching episodes that I had missed on YouTube now. Sometimes you can buy DVDs with these episodes on it. Anyway, they did a really terrific entire episode on Bobby Mackey's. And I was just thinking when I was talking to Nick, geez, I'd love to go visit that place. I wonder if I'll ever get a chance. And I kind of looked up where it was. He mentioned that it's in Kentucky. So while we were talking, I just did a quick Google search. And it's in a place called Wilder, Kentucky. And I thought, wow, Kentucky. Just last summer, this past August, I was in Covington, Kentucky, which is just outside of Cincinnati, just across the river from Cincinnati. And for the International MUFON Symposium. And I thought, huh, just idly curious. I wonder how far that was from Covington. And, boy, I should not have looked because it was something like, I don't know, 5 miles. And I was down there with my car. I mean, I drove down there. Had I realized that I was a five-minute drive from Bobby Mackey's, I would have grabbed some of my friends and dragged them over there with me to go Haunted Bar, because that is way too cool. And I cannot believe I missed that. Now that I'm back home again, of course, it's something like an 8-hour drive. So I don't know if I'm going to get back down there. Well, actually, I'm definitely going to get back down there. I just don't know when. So I will have to figure that out. So if anybody's up for meeting me at Bobby Mackey's sometime, hey, well, let's go check that place out, because I want to know what it's like. I want to know if I see something. I have done ghost walks, ghost hunts, ghost investigations. I go places that, you know, are vouched for as being pretty darn haunted. And I've gone with people who have been there before, and they see all kinds of stuff, and I don't. So I don't know if there's something about me that I just don't see things, or, you know, am I trying too hard to be, you know, open-minded, but not so much that your brains fall out. Maybe I'm trying to be too skeptical or too hard to convince. I don't know. I think I would like to see a ghost. Of course, I also think it'd be pretty scary, so I don't know. Maybe that's my problem. How about you guys? What kind of ghosts have you ever seen? And have you done any investigations? If anybody wants to call in, you know, feel free. Raise your hand in the chat room, or if you want to write it in the chat room, I'll be glad to relay your comments. Okay. One listener says, mine wasn't scary, but hey, let's see it. Okay, here's someone who saw a shadow being in your house. Now, I'm curious about shadow beings. I'm not sure what to think of these things. Now, from my understanding, this is like a human-shaped shadow, really. I mean, when I was a little kid and I was reading ghost stories in my local library, the ghosts were always white. They were usually transparent. Sometimes they had a little glow about them. You know, as I got older, I read more stories, more people's accounts of their sightings and ghost encounters. And Colin Wilson talked about how some ghosts don't appear like ghosts. They seem like they're alive. And it throws people off because sometimes people might run across an old friend. It's been ages since they saw each other. They chat or, you know, maybe just talk for a couple minutes, and then they go home, and then they find out later that that friend died a week ago, you know, long before they saw them, before they ran across them in town. And I always thought that was a really cool story and a cool idea, but I didn't think it was real. I thought it was an interesting literary trick, really, to make, oh, wow, to make the reader think, oh, my God, that's so freaky. And it is pretty freaky, and it is pretty scary. But apparently it's not uncommon. But I find it interesting that I never heard of shadow beings. You know, when I was a kid, I was reading literally anything I could get my hands on, and not just in the kids section of the library. I was into the adult reading room. I was like 8 years old, because I grew up in a really small town, and our library was excellent, but it was very, very small. And I went through everything in the kids' room really quickly. I was an absolutely voracious reader, and I still am. So I just don't know, you know, why have I only heard of shadow people in the last few years? You know, is this a new word for something that's been around time? But I don't remember ever hearing about these dark forms. Was this just something that nobody talked about until recently? That I'm not sure. Now, oh my goodness, one of our listeners says, an old guy walked through a wall away from me, slightly behind at the side, as I was standing facing the TV at my friend's home. Walked through the wall away from me. I'm not sure what you mean by slightly behind at the side, as I was standing facing the TV. Oh, so to your side and slightly behind you. And walked away from you through a wall. Holy cow. And did you ever find out who this man was? Because it was at the friend's home. Was it someone who used to live in that house, maybe? Or I had a friend in high school who lived in a house where he said that ghosts kind of passed through periodically. He said there were certain times of the year when there would be a lot of activity in the house for about 2 weeks, and then it would die down again. And I thought he was just sort of making things up because he knew I was really interested in ghost stories. And I thought, well, maybe he's just trying to, you know, give me a good story to entertain me. But then I was at a family picnic with him once, and I met his mom. And I asked her about it, or he asked her about it, because I wasn't going to embarrass him by bringing it up if he had about such and such. And she said, oh, yeah. Yep, we used to see those ghosts all the time. Yeah, I saw people walk through the wall in the back bedroom. You know, I'd be up in the front, and I'd look down the hallway and see somebody go into my bedroom. And, oh, my gosh, I was getting kind of freaked out. I had second thoughts about going to that house again, but he kept saying, no, it's only just during a couple of weeks. And apparently it happened more when he and his sisters were really young. The ghosts were seen, like, checking on the babies and tucking them in. And one time his mother said she woke up during the night and she saw the ghosts of a man and a woman standing at the foot of her bed. And they were angry. They were arguing. The woman was arguing and was saying, that's the one. That's the one I don't like. And I thought, that would be, you know, it for me. But apparently this ghost, this female ghost, was very upset because one of her babies had kicked the covers off. And the mother was not aware of this. She was sleeping. But when the ghost woke her up, she went to check on her daughter and found that the blanket had been kicked off, so she tucked her back in again, and then apparently everything was okay. No, that would still freak me out pretty badly, I would think. They often used to hear the baby's toys playing. You know, baby toys often have little bells in them, or they make little gentle sounds. And his mom said she would often hear that during the night, and she'd go in to check on the baby thinking, oh, you know, whichever child it was had woken up and, you know, went in to tuck them back in again. And invariably, as soon as she opened the door to the bedroom, the sound would stop. And she'd find whichever child it was sound asleep in the crib. Absolutely no one in there, no one playing with the toys, but she could have sworn she heard this very gentle jingling. So someone had been playing with it. That was kind of cute, actually. You know, like the idea of the ghost sort of goofing around with the toys. Okay, a little update on that. The gentleman who walked past our listener and through the wall says he was probably the elderly owner of a farmhouse that had occupied that land before the condominiums were built. So maybe he didn't realize. I mean, he might have just been walking from his living room and didn't realize that there was now a wall there. I have to wonder if that was just something habitual, you know, if he just did that over and over and over. Like maybe it went, you know, from his kitchen to his front door or something, and it was just someplace that he walked every day. And so maybe it was just sort of an impression. Or maybe he really was just still there. Okay, another comment says, I've heard of when children have been holding conversation through the baby listening device. Oh, that's a neat idea. Yeah, those baby monitors. Wow. Right, so spirits could be using the baby monitors to talk. It's just like EVP. Oh, my gosh, never thought about that. What a cool idea. And, you know, it's neat that children often are not afraid of these things, and especially, you know, in the example I was talking about earlier, these ghosts were clearly watching out for these kids, playing with their toys once in a while, but making sure that they were tucked in. That's really sweet. When my son was a baby, I'm going to tell one story about him, and I don't think he'll mind. He was a very, very small baby, and, you know, we used to have one of those car seats that, they're pretty popular now. There's like a carrier that snaps into a car seat frame, and then you can unsnap the carrier from the car seat, and then you can snap it into a stroller. And anybody who has kids or who has families, you know, with small children will probably be familiar with this. The carrier itself has a handle over the top, and you can kind of swing the baby by the handle. And we used to do that a lot, actually. When he had trouble sleeping, we'd put them in that and swing it. But it was really nice because if the baby falls asleep in the car, you don't have to lift them out of the carrier. You just unsnap the whole carrier, and you can take them in the house without waking the baby. It's really terrific. At any rate, I was visiting my mother once, and we went for a walk in the very small town where I grew up. And in the village, not too far from that house where I grew up, there's an old cemetery. And a lot of the graves are from like the 1800s. It's very small, very quiet, very peaceful. It's very pretty. It's in a little churchyard, you know, surrounded by old trees. It's beautiful, really. And some of the stones are kind of interesting. So we went there. It was a nice day. And my son was not asleep, but he was very calm in his carrier. So I set him down on the grass because my arms were getting tired. He was starting to get kind of big. And I set him, was buckled into this carrier, so I knew he was totally safe, just resting on the grass. And I just walked a few steps away from him, looking at some of the inscriptions on the old stones. And I turned around a few minutes later, I looked back, and he was looking up straight ahead of him, not at a stone or anything, there was nothing there, but he was looking up, laughing and waving his arms as if there were somebody bending over him, talking to him. He looked exactly the way he does, or did, he's 16 now, but at that time he was reacting exactly the same way that he did when someone was leaning over, making a face, trying to get him to laugh, or waving a toy in front of him. You know, he was just smiling and looking, not at me, not at a stone, not at a tree, not anything, just looking straight ahead as if there was someone there. And it was really neat because actually my sister was there and she kind of nudged me and she said, hey, look, somebody's visiting with a baby and somebody's happy to see a baby here. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. They were so nice and they were being so nice to him, you know, and he was laughing. So I just walked around a little bit more and, you know, kept an eye on him. And he was very, very pleased, and that was cool. Now, I see a couple of other people are mentioning in the chat room their own experiences. It's so cool that you guys are writing in. Okay, here's one. One person says, I was helping a friend with a computer issue, and afterwards we were chatting in her living room when suddenly the front door opened. On three different occasions, each time I got up from where I was sitting and checked the door, it was in good order, yet it opened three times, as if to say, time to go. Okay, that's funny. She said some sort of a spirit was not happy I was there. So did you leave after that the third time? I mean, you were still helping a friend with the computer. No, it was afterwards. You finished helping with the computer. It's really weird. You know, I see these things on some of the TV, the ghost programs, where the door just opens by itself. And I guess it depends on whether it just sort of opens a little bit and very gently, or if it, like, slams open. This listener stuck around. Wow, good for you. That is someone brave. Did you, like, wait to see what would happen, and did anything else happen? He said it happened three times, so maybe not anymore. It would concern me a little bit, too, because of the three. I read The Demonologist, which was a book co-written with Ed and Lorraine Warren about their experiences. And Ed frequently said that demons will do things in threes as a mocking of the Trinity. And so, it opened gently but wide open, Raven says. Well, maybe because it was gently, okay, but yeah, when it opens wide like that, there's no mistaking it, is there? It absolutely, you can't really say, oh, it was the wind or something. And I've heard people talk about, you know, when the door opened and there was no wind anywhere. You know, the curtains didn't move. There were things, papers out that should have moved if a breeze had come through, and it wasn't a breeze. Anytime if anything happened in threes, I would be thinking, oh my gosh, Ed Warren, when things happen in threes, you have to watch out for demons. So I would be fairly freaked about that. But I've told people, I have mentioned several times, that although I was raised as a Roman Catholic, I am pagan, I am specifically. But that's not to say that I don't believe in demons, because they do exist. There have been too many people who have had experiences with them. And you know, part of me says, oh, well, you know, the Wiccan belief is that everything in the world is here because it's supposed to, so from some aspect everything is good and fine. And, you know, personally, I feel that there's been enough belief over the centuries by enough millions of people. People have believed in the existence of demons. And so if they didn't exist to begin with, I think they do now. I think they could very well be thought forms if they're not, you know, independently existing negative spirits. That, as Lorraine Warren said, they are not human, they never have been human, they never will be. And they just are, and they have existed since, you know, before the Bible. And, you know, the Bible talks about the existence of demons. I don't necessarily believe in the literal truth of everything that is in the Bible. I think quite a bit of what is written there is, I'm going to say made up, but yeah, maybe made up, as illustrations of truths, illustrations of lessons. And I don't know whether I believe that demons existed before somebody wrote about them in the Bible and then everyone started to believe in them. And then I think belief certainly has created some of them, at least. How's that for a cop-out? Yes, some demons existed before the Bible, but then some of them were created by the belief of people who read the Bible. There we go. I've been told that I'm really good at rationalizing things, and apparently I'm pretty good at weaseling out decision, too, or making a firm statement. Okay, back to my listener comments. Okay, in the UK, at a seaside town, two figures appear like that just above the floor, near the seawall with the beach beyond. One goes down to the beach, moving just above floor level. And apparently there was a murderous event there in Victorian times. Wow. So, wow, that's really interesting. I wonder whether that figure going from the house down to the beach has something to do with the murder. But I'd like to find out more about that. Another listener says, my friend was telling me about an Indian medicine man who challenged the chief of his tribe, who was supposedly trying to overthrow the chief. So I'm thinking there must be a bit more to the story than I've heard. Maybe this person is still typing the rest of it. So more of that will come up. Oh, my gosh, would you look at the time? We are almost done for the night. Holy cow. Okay. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? Anything else? Yeah, we got about 7 minutes left. Holy cow, look at that. And here I thought I wasn't going to be able to talk for an hour just by myself. Ah, apparently I can do that too. Well, look, everybody who has, a bunch of you have been talking about the weather changing. Yeah, yes, are you ready for the storm? Are we all battened down? Everybody got their hatches battened down, got, you know, enough milk and bread and toilet paper in the house so you don't have to go out? I got to go get some more milk soon, I think. And I don't know how much weather we're going to get here. I'm pretty far inland, but I'm expecting a fair amount of rain. And, yeah, we might get some power outage, and I'd be okay with that. I kind of like it when that happens. I do like to live simply. I will have a tough time without my Internet if that goes out, but I'll deal with it. I have a lot of books people have sent me that I still need to read, and I've got about a million candles in the house because I love candles anyway. So if it's dark, I'll just light a candle and curl up with a book and get my cats. Got three cats in the dark, and I'm sure they'll all want to curl up with me. There's another comment here from a listener. The word demon has been used to express the inexplicable, but its meaning today wasn't necessarily in the mind of people in earlier times. That's true. We have to be careful in trying to understand what has been put down over the eons. because meanings are not always the same. That is an excellent point, and thank you for bringing that up. That's really, really excellent. My use of the terms really has been shaped by my reading of the demonologist, especially. If you haven't missed that, I really highly recommend it. It's a terrific book because it's articulate, it's well-written, it's clearly written. In these days, I'm hesitating, I'm trying to think of how to put this tactfully. Publishing is very, very easy these days. Self-publishing is very easy. It is a very simple matter to write a book and to put it out as a Kindle version on Amazon or something like that. Anybody can do that. And on the one hand, that's terrific. In a lot of ways, that's really, really cool because there's a lot of good information getting out more affordably, and authors are not losing out quite so much. I think the publishing business has always been very heavily weighted against authors. I was reading something recently that Jack Canfield wrote, and he is fabulously successful. He wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and he was talking about his early days when he had written a couple of books and was not making a lot of money for them. And he described his royalty as being like 20s per book, and I almost fell off my chair. And he talked about it like, oh, that's, you know, that's just how it is. So how can I sell more books so I get more 25 cents each? And his solution was that he found a way to sell 100,000 books that he got this, you know, ridiculously, or he sold like 400,000 books so that he got $100,000. And all I could think was 25 cents per book, really? You know, people talk about writing a book and getting an advance from a publisher and life is really good. And yeah, if you're a really good author, I mean, I know a few people who can do that. And I know of a few authors, people I don't know personally who can do that. I mean, people like J.K. Rowling or Tom Clancy or Stephen King, I'm sure, get pretty nice advances these days. Most of us schmucks don't. I mean, I don't expect anything like that when I get my book done. I will not self-publish. What I will do is to publish it through our publishing company, which is Keyhole. But that's not the same as self-publishing because that is a company. And, you know, we've published a lot of books for several different authors. But hopefully I'll get more than 25 cents per book. Holy cow. Because it's so easy for almost anyone to self-publish their own book under their own name, not under the name of a publisher which has a business and, you know, ISBN numbers and all of this, people can just write stuff and put it out. And I've been seeing more and more, especially on Kindle, that these books are just not edited, and they badly need to be. So when you come across a book like Chasing Spirits, for example, or like The Demonologist, it's very well written, and it's an absolute pleasure to read this. I don't know if The Demonologist is still in print, but I really, really highly recommend it. I had the opportunity to meet Lorraine Warren last spring, and she is an absolutely lovely, lovely woman with a wacky sense of humor. She's brilliant. She is very spiritually aware. Total sweetheart. She's like every grandma until you start talking about demons, and then you realize just how kick-ass she is. She's absolutely amazing and wonderful. And I would love to interview her on the show sometime. Can get hold of her because she's amazingly busy, too, but she's absolutely a sweetheart. So definitely, yeah, check out Nick Groff's book, Chasing Spirits, I'm sorry, and Demonologist by Gerald Brittle. And he wrote that in conjunction with Ed and Lorraine Warren. And I have yammered on, and it looks like we have just about run out of time here. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight on Through the Keyhole. This has been a live broadcast on October 26, 2012, and I'll probably keep giving the date like that just in case the world does end in December of 2012. And if not, we're having a big honking party right after. So thanks, everybody, for joining me. And if you missed the first hour, do check out the archive because Nick Groff was a really terrific guest, and we had a great time talking, and I highly recommend you check it out. I will see you next week. I am still trying to confirm my guest for next week, so I'm just going to have to keep it a surprise. But I will post on my Facebook page as soon as I do know who is going to be on with me next time. For right now, you've been listening to Through the Keyhole live on the Paranormal Radio Network and on UPRN 105.7 FM in New Orleans. I'm your host, Karen Dolan, and stay tuned now for our Global Focus coming up next with Therese Sheridan. Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you next time.
I ain't wasting no more time. Here I go.
Together, we are Second Sight NYC, a parapsychic radio show based out of New York City.
Join us each week as we journey into the unknown. Let's cross the threshold of reality together.
We take a fun and no-nonsense approach to our show, and we love to interact with our audience. Each week, you can expect a great guest, interesting topics, and strong opinions by myself and Stephanie.
As well as rapid readings, psychic dream interpretations, and the gemstone of the week. And don't ask us a question that you don't want an answer to.
Give us 2 hours of your time to inform, enlighten, and entertain you. Let the journey begin.
Join us.
Hello, everyone. Trish Sheridan, host of A Global Focus. Come join us each Friday evening at A Global Focus's new time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Come join the discussion.
Your night with the Kevin Smith Show. Hi, this is Kevin Smith. Join me Monday through Friday right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, hi there. Got your attention? I'm Gia Scott, and I was curious what you were doing from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. See, I host this really interesting little radio program that airs live then, and we bring in all sorts of guests. Authors, experiencers, and everything in between. It's paranormal and guaranteed to make you go, My guest list is always up at www.giascott.com, and do tune in to the Dawn of Shades from 7 to 9 p.m. on Tuesdays.